Invite you there this morning if you have your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with us to the Gospel of John this morning. Gospel of John. And chapter 15. John chapter 15 this morning. And we have been in a series this December. We have been in a series this December on discovering the true meaning of Christmas. And over the last several weeks, we have seen several gifts that with the Lord Jesus Christ's birth that he brought to earth for us. We, of course, saw the gift of hope, the gift of salvation. Last week, we saw the gift of God. This morning, we're going to see another gift that he brought with him. And you'll know what we're talking about here in a moment. But I've talked with several people this month and this Christmas season, and several folks have made the remark that, well, it just doesn't feel very Christmassy. Anybody have that feeling this morning that it just hasn't felt like Christmas? It hasn't felt like a joyous or a happy or just a time for anything? And we attribute that to a lot of what's going on in the world, but also maybe what's going on personally in our own personal lives. And for some, it can be hard to find the happiness. It can be hard to find the joy. And in fact, talking about joy in today's world is a very difficult task. There was a man by the name of John Steinbeck. He wrote a book entitled Travels with Charlie. And that book basically told of him traveling across the United States in his camper with his dog, Charlie. And he would travel kind of stealth-like. He would travel incognito so people wouldn't know him, not as a prize-winning author. But along his journey, Steinbeck said he would meet many people. And he came to the conclusion that almost all the people he met were unhappy with their jobs, with the places they live, with just the general state of their life. And, you know, as we turn on the news, and, you know, I think it would be good, especially during this week, to maybe avoid the news a little bit because it can certainly put a damper on things. But joy, as we look around us, seems to have just vanished from our world. Joy has seemed to just gone out the window. You look around and, you know, I'm a people watcher. We go to Walmart. I like to watch people. If you like to watch people, Walmart's a good place to do it, too. And but, you know, you watch people and you study the faces of people around you. And instead of smiles, instead of a joyful countenance, what you'll find usually is people with frowns and people looking like they just don't want to be doing what it is they're doing. You listen to people's conversations, and what you'll usually hear is not the blessings that God has bestowed upon them, but you'll hear complaints and bickering. You say, well, what can bring joy to living? Well, I believe this morning Jesus wanted people to have joy. He wanted people to have joy. And one of the gifts he brought when he was born in that manger 2,000 plus years ago was the gift of joy. I want you to notice there, John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we'll begin reading at verse number 1. And you'll understand why and how, if Jesus was able to have joy, you and I can have joy here in a moment. But notice there, John chapter 15, verse 1. and following. The Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and ye shall, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Now, I want you to notice this next verse, verse 11. These things, talking about verses 1 through 10, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, notice that it's his joy. It's not your joy. It's not the world's joy. It's his joy. It's the joy that only he can provide. That my joy might remain in you. But not only that, notice the last part of the verse. And that your joy might be full. You see, this morning, if you'll have his joy, then your joy will be full. And your joy will never be lacking. Because in reality, it wouldn't be your joy that was filling you. It would be his joy. And for a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach us on this thought, the gift of joy. The gift of joy. And so, what kind of joy was Jesus talking about? Well, number one this morning, we see that it is an independent joy. It's an independent joy. You know, many people today believe happiness depends on circumstances. That if everything is going right, well, then I can be happy. If everything is going the way that I think it should go and the way I have it lined out, well, then I can have joy and then I can be happy. They think maybe a new job or a new car or a new outfit would make them happy. They wish that maybe they had more money or more power. Then and only then, if they had those things, would they be happy. But what we see here from our text is that happiness does not depend upon circumstances. Happiness does not depend upon if everything is coming up roses. And by the way, this morning, you and I, everything will not always come up roses. Everything will, you've heard me say it before, we're not in the sweet by and by just yet. We're still here in the nasty now, and we still have to deal with the realities of the nasty now. Listen, just because we're Christians does not make us immune to the things of the world, to the trials and the tribulations and the heartaches. But happiness and joy, they do not depend upon circumstances. And we see here that Jesus gives a joy that does not depend on external circumstances. Now, you think about this text here that we read. Here in John chapter 15. You think about Jesus here in verse number 11. He's talking about joy. That it might remain and that it might be full. At what point do we find Jesus speaking about this? Well, if you know your accounts and you know your Bible, you'll realize that he's talking to his disciples about joy on the day before he's set to be crucified. On the day before he set to go to a cross. For, by the way, crimes he did not commit, for sins he was not guilty of, but here he is the day before he's going to the cross, and he's talking about joy. I mean, you think about that this morning. Even then, as he's facing that cruel cross, Jesus could speak about joy. How about us this morning? What are the, you know, the Bible tells us, take up your cross and bear your cross and so on and so forth. Paul in Corinthians talks about the thorn in the flesh. What is it for you this morning that maybe you allow to rob you of your joy? Listen, this morning, let this be an encouragement. Let this be a challenge that if Jesus, the day before he was going to die a sinner's death for sins he did not commit, and he could talk about joy, then you and I, it should not matter the circumstances we find ourselves in, because he's the one that ultimately gives joy. And so we see this morning that it's an independent joy. And the joy that Jesus gives is not an outward joy. Listen, because I understand life happens. Things happen. And sometimes it's very hard to externalize joy. But it's an inward joy. You know, you ever meet somebody and you know they're going through a trial. You know they're going through a tribulation. You know they're going through a heartache or a sorrow or a loss or whatever the case may be. And somehow they're still able to have a smile on their face. Somehow they're still able to crack a joke. Somehow they still seem like, despite everything seemingly falling down around them, they're still able to enjoy life. You say, where does that come from? It doesn't come from the circumstances. It comes from God. It comes from Jesus, the one who gives us our joy. And it does not depend on external circumstances, because regardless of circumstances, Jesus' joy is what makes a person happy. I mean, you think about it. If the external could make us happy, why do we always want the newest phone every 2 years? Oh, by the way, rabbit trail. Over there at the Arnett Mall, there's a T-Mobile store. And we pass it when we're over there. And I noticed they were advertising, now you can get a new phone every 3 years. The prices went up, but you can get a new phone every 3 years. When I was a teenager, you could get a phone every 2 years for less money. But now, oh, every 3 years, but now you got to pay more. But guess what? There'll be people that do it. Every time the new phone comes out, there they go. There, and the phones aren't getting any cheaper. And I remember seeing something that just made me laugh. And it was kids in the 80s versus kids today. And the kids in the 80s, they had the old school phones. And the mom comes in and says, are you going to call your friends now that we have a phone in the house? And they said, oh boy, am I. And then it fast forwards to present day. And the mom gives the kid a new cell phone and says, are you going to call your friends now and tell them you got a new phone? And the kid looks at her and says, this thing can make phone calls? Because it does everything but what its original purpose is for. I mean, you got the World Wide Web at your fingertips. You have, I mean, you name it, it's probably in this phone. And yet, it's very seldom used for calling. Okay, rabbit trail over. But, or you think, you know, you get a new car, and then you drive it off the lot. And by the way, it depreciates as soon as it drives off that lot. And then you think, oh, now I need a new car. You become dissatisfied. You know, we joke about kids on Christmas morning. They get all these presents under the tree. And then by the end of the day, They're seemingly bored with them. Why? Because those things don't satisfy. Materialistic things don't satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy. But we see it's an independent joy. Secondly, this morning, it's a resultant joy. It's a resultant joy. You know, many people make the pursuit of happiness the energy of their existence. Well, if I can just be happy, that'll be what it is. But you know, happiness eludes us when we expend all of our energy searching for it. True happiness is the result of a relationship with Jesus. True happiness is the result of a relationship with the Lord, and the Lord wants a relationship with you this morning. Albert Schweitzer said, "One thing I know, the only ones among you who will be really happy are the ones who have sought and found how to serve." And so we see here Jesus had joy because he obeyed the Father. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 talks about keeping our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord came, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, came to this earth 2,000 years ago, born as a babe in a manger for one reason and one reason only. He was born to die. That's what he came for. And he came to die for you and for me. And he obeyed the Father. You remember when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. You know, that's how we need to start praying a little bit more. Okay, Lord, I know what I want, but Lord, not my will, but your will be done. To Jesus, joy was the result of accomplishing the Father's will. You see, we have joy only when we obey God's will. Joy is a result of obedience. That's what the first 10 verses are talking about. Abide in me, keep my commandments, obedience to God and his word. But then not only that, Jesus had joy because he trusts the Father. Jesus believed that no matter what happened, the providence of God will prevail. And folks, I want to encourage you this morning, no matter what the circumstances of life may be, God will never lose control. There's an old gospel, Southern gospel song, "Under Control." He's got it all under control. Now, you see, this morning, joy results from a profound trust in the Lord. It's an independent joy. It's a resultant joy. Thirdly, this morning, we see it's an abiding joy. It's an abiding joy. You notice there again, verse 11, that my joy might what? Remain in you. You see, many people, they search for short-lived happiness. Many people experience temporary pleasure when they receive a salary increase or some other monetary gain, or, you know, they go out to the bar, or they go out with friends, or they go and do something, and these things, they bring pleasure, but for a moment. But the pleasure the world offers, I guarantee you, does not last long. The Bible tells us that the pleasures of sin, they last but for a season. But Jesus gives lasting joy, and nothing this morning can destroy the joy that Jesus brings. You think of the worst possible thing that can happen to you. If you have Jesus, you can still have joy. If you have Jesus, if you have the Lord, you can still have joy. The joy of the Lord will prevail through all kinds of crises. You think about this morning, that loved one you had to say goodbye to at their hospital bed. What got you through it? The Lord. the joy of Jesus. You lose a spouse. You lose a child. You lose a job. You lose a home to a house fire. You lose your car in a crash. You get diagnosed with a terminal illness. The Lord will prevail through all of that. He'll be there with you every step of the way. We see it's an abiding joy. Our theme for 2024, and we'll have it unveiled here in the first week of January, but our theme this year, or this coming year, is going to be Never Alone. I'm thankful this morning we have a Savior that remains. We have a God who remains. We have a God who will never leave us or forsake us. He's there with us each step of the way. It's an abiding joy. And then fourthly and finally this morning, we see that not only is it an independent joy, not only is it a resultant joy, not only is it an abiding joy, but we see that it is a full joy. It's a full joy. Notice there again, verse 11, not only that it might remain, but that your joy might be full. That your joy might be full. You see, many people, they survive on a false happiness. Abraham Maslow, a Jewish psychologist, identified several levels of human need. The first two needs are survival and safety. People need food and they need shelter. And they need a feeling of security. Yet, according to Maslow, there are much deeper needs. A person could have the basic needs met and still be unhappy. Did you ever wonder about that? How someone, they have food, they have a home, they have a loving family, they have a good job, a good salary, a nice car. All of the things the world tells you that you need to be happy, and yet they're still unhappy. Why? Because their joy is not full. They're constantly striving after something more. And the only thing that can satisfy is Jesus. The only thing that can satisfy is the Lord. And when you have Him, if the good home and the good car and the good job and the good salary and the family, if that all goes away, when it all crumbles to the sea, He'll still be there. God will still be there. Now, you see, this morning, some people never move beyond basic physical needs to discover the joy of finding meaning for life. But not only that, we see Jesus gives a joy that satisfies to the fullest. You see, He wanted His disciples to have full joy. That means a joy that lacks nothing. And Jesus alone can provide a joy that fulfills every part of our existence. Isaiah 9:6, the Bible tells us, "For unto you is born this day." Or actually, let's turn there. Isaiah chapter 9. I was quoting the New Testament there. Isaiah chapter 9. And notice there, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Charles Spurgeon once said, "The greatest and most momentous fact which the history of the world records, is the fact of Christ's birth. C.S. Lewis once said, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." Notice, if you would, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And notice there verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Folks, there is no other one like Jesus. There is no other name. Say, how do I get to heaven? Jesus. Say, how do I have my sins forgiven? Jesus. And then notice, if you would, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And notice there, if you would, verse number 23. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Folks, this morning, if you have Emmanuel, if you have God with you, you can have joy. This morning you say, "It doesn't feel like Christmas. Don't feel much like in the season." Well, let me encourage you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're grieving something. For those that are grieving, there's Emmanuel, God with us. Maybe this morning you are joyful. Well, for those that are joyful, there is Emmanuel, God with us. Maybe this morning you're healing from something. For those who are healing, there's Emmanuel. Maybe you're here this morning and you're searching. You don't know what you're searching for, but you know there's an emptiness in your life. You know there's an emptiness in your heart. Hey, if you're here this morning and you need to fill that missing piece, there's Emmanuel, God with us. Maybe this morning you're waiting for something. There's Emmanuel. Maybe this morning you just find yourself weary in well-doing. There's Emmanuel. For everyone that's here this morning, there's Emmanuel, God with us. I'm thankful this morning for that truth of God with us. And we think again of that verse, Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born." You think about what that means this morning. To those in sin, God sent the Savior. To those in darkness, God sent us the light. To those in bondage, God sent us the deliverer. To those in defeat, God sent us the victor. To those in want, God sent us the shepherd. To those in hunger, God sent us the bread. To those in pain, God sent us the physician. To those in doubt, God sent us the truth. To those in confusion, God sent us the way. To those in turmoil, God sent us the Prince of Peace. And to all in need this morning, God sent His only begotten Son. We're talking about joy this morning. You don't have to be miserable this Christmas season. You don't have to be miserable in the new year. Why? Because Jesus wants to give you joy. But this morning, don't be filled by the world's temporary joy. Because that's all it is. It's temporary. That new car, before you know it, it's going to have 100,000 miles. And then before you know it, it's going to have 200,000 miles. Oil change, leaking mufflers, new tires, lost bumpers. Things happen to cars. That new house you bought as maybe a newlywed couple, well, just like our bodies, that house begins to break down. Leaks and cracks and you name it, it happens. For us, we grow older. That job, eventually you'll retire from it and it'll be no more. That salary increase you got, maybe it'll go away someday. But don't be fooled by that temporary joy. Abide in Jesus. Obey His commands. And let Him fill you with His everlasting joy. The joy that remains and the joy that is full. By all means, tomorrow, Christmas 2024. The Lord blesses you with some presents, some gifts, some family time, some football as the Eagles hopefully beat the Giants. And hopefully get back on track. But boy, did Buffalo spank the Cowboys. That was a blessing to my soul right there. But as you have all of those things, don't forget what the day is really about. The fact that the sinless Son of God threw off His heavenly deity, came to this earth as a baby, lived 33 and a half sinless years, three of those of earthly ministry, went through everything you and I went through and sinned not. Went to a cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. And He did it for you and for me, for our salvation and for our joy. In fact, take your Bibles one last time. Psalm 51. You remember me saying each scripture passage has a context and then an application. It's important for us to get the context and not take it out of context in order to make the application. But Psalm 51, and without rehashing it, it is, of course, the Psalm of David after he had committed his sin with Bathsheba. He sent his men into battle, and he stayed back with Bathsheba. But I want you to notice there, if you would, verse number 12. Psalm 51 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." This morning I'm thankful for His salvation. It's not our salvation. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't do anything to merit heaven on our own. But He did it all. And this morning when you have His salvation, you have joy. Even on those days you don't feel like it, if you're saved this morning, you can have joy. And so this morning, as we think about Christmas, and again, maybe for some it doesn't feel very Christmassy. Well, if we keep our eyes on Christ tomorrow, consider Him the author, the finisher of our faith, we can have joy. We can enjoy the holiday tomorrow before we go back to work and school and Tuesday comes. But let's keep our focus where it belongs, on Jesus, who wants to give us joy. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet.